Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على السلام. حي على السلام. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے جماعت احمدیہ جرمنی کو آج سے اپنے جلسہ سالانہ کے انعقاد کی توفیق مل رہی ہے جو انشاءاللہ تعالی 3 دن تک جاری رہے گا.
From today, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jamaat Ahmadiyya Germany is being enabled to hold its Jalsa Salana. Inshallah, God willing, this will continue for 3 days. Within these same days, there are Jalsas being held of various other countries in the world, in particular of USA, of Kababir, and so on. The Umara of these countries expressed a desire that as our Jalsas are being held in these same days, so we may perhaps also be referred to. It is at this time very early in the morning in the US. Similarly, the time for the Friday prayers would also have probably passed in Kababir. In the US, Juma will perhaps start after 6 or 5 hours. So thus, on the last day of the Jalsa, on Sunday, their concluding session will inshallah be at the same time when the Jalsa will be concluding here. In this respect, they would also participate in the concluding session and silent prayer, inshallah, God willing. For Jalsas of various countries to be held in the same days is useful in the sense that through listening to the live sermons, people of different countries who gather together to participate in the Jalsas are also benefited and become a part of those Jalsas. And thus, the message of the Khalifa of the time reaches to a large proportion of the Jamaat. It may indeed be the case that a large numbers of the Jamaat in the world listen to the live sermon and program. However, still, according to my estimates, there is yet a sizable proportion who are not listening to it. So thus, as I stated, the Ahmadis of the US and the Ahmadis of other countries who are holding their Jalsas in these same days will become a part of the Jalsa on the last day. However, today also on Juma, many people's attention would be drawn in this direction. Although the time here may perhaps not suit all the other countries. However, because the people are gathered together with the intention of participating in the Jalsa, it is for this reason, in accordance with their respective timings, wherever they may be, they do listen to the khutbah or the speeches. That is to say, in comparison to normal circumstances, a larger number of people listen to them. In today's sermon, I would like to remind towards the objectives of the Jalsa Salana. These are those objectives which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has expounded with respect to the Jalsa Salana. A need for reminding is always present. This is so that within the days of the Jalsa, a special focus and attention persists. Also, so that after the Jalsa, one, in accordance with his capacities, is able to absorb these things, and that these qualities are demonstrated by Ahmadis through their actions. This point also depends upon a person's attention and focus. That for how long does this focus maintain? Because nowadays a person is engrossed in various other works and endeavors of the world. It is as a result of this, often materialism and worldliness dominates a person, as a result of which slackness develops within one's obligatory and voluntary duties. some Ahmadis write to me after participating in the Jalsa that during these 3 days of the Jalsa, our lives transformed altogether. These 3 days passed in a manner as if we were in a different world. There was a special spiritual atmosphere. Please pray that even after the Jalsa, this state continues. So thus, this is the state which during the days of the Jalsa is dominant. This has an impact upon everyone who attends the Jalsa. In accordance with every person's spiritual state, this impact remains. Some forget immediately after the Jalsa. They will forget, and they do forget, that whilst listening to the speeches of the Jalsa, what pledges we made with ourselves and what pledges we made with our God, that we would maintain these virtues and pieties. There are some who will maintain this impact for a few days, whilst others will maintain this impact for some weeks. There are many who will maintain this impact for many months. These are the facts which we cannot close our eyes to. There are also a handful upon whom this impact maintains for years. So thus, because the majority only maintain this impact for a short while, it is for this reason that Allah the Almighty has instructed to frequently and repeatedly remind. Allah the Almighty has instructed for such an atmosphere and environment to repeatedly be formed, which would draw the attention of the believers towards pieties and towards their obligations and responsibilities. Such an environment and atmosphere should be formed, which would frequently remind them of being mindful of their own actions. Thus, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has done a great favor upon us by starting the Jalsa Salana. Through it, we gain a collective opportunity for reformation. We are enabled to acquire spiritual fruits. We gain an opportunity to heed towards our responsibilities and our obligations. So thus, as I said, I shall speak with regards to the purpose and motives of the Jalsa Salana in light of the statements of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. From these, it becomes clear how the promised Messiah alayhi salam desired for the participants of the Jalsa to be, and of his expectations of how Ahmadis should act. Before I begin with this, the administration should provide me a report whether the sound is reaching to the back, or anyone sitting at the back should raise their hand to inform whether the sound is audible and proper. That is fine. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, the heart should be fully inclined towards the hereafter. The fear of Allah the Almighty should be developed within the heart. Zuhud and righteousness, nobility, meekness, and mutual love, and in brotherly feelings, they should become examples for others. Humbleness, truthfulness, and honesty should develop within them. They should be very active for religious endeavors and activities. In these few sentences, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has provided a complete roadmap for a true Ahmadi. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated, there should be such transformation cultivated within the person attending the Jalsa that he should become an example of Zuhud. If one reflects in this just one word, there is such an immense guidance that it cuts the root of all evil and vice. Zuhud means to hold back from the worldly temptations and worldly attractions. It is to shun worldly desires. It is to suppress one's inappropriate feelings and passions from developing. It is to suppress it in such a manner that all doors of such desires are closed. So such desires do not even emerge. Now, if one reflects, then man cannot completely sever his ties from those things in this life that Allah the Almighty has created. So thus, this also does not mean that you desist yourselves to such an extent that you cut yourselves off from the world altogether. Zuhud actually means that you should hold yourself back from the inappropriate desires of this world. Allah the Almighty has also mentioned His bounties and blessings that He has given. By not deriving benefit from these bounties is being ungrateful to God. It is mentioned in a tradition that some companions of the Prophet pledged that we would go on keeping fast on a daily basis. We would not marry, and we would not go near any woman. We would just go on praying all night. The Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when this came to his knowledge, stated, I also keep fast, and I also break the fast. I offer the prayer, and I also sleep. I also carry out other worldly tasks and domestic chores. I have also carried out the nikah with women. So thus he who turns away from my example is not from amongst me. The Holy Prophet stated, remember that in comparison to all of you, I am more fearful of God. I keep my every desire in accordance with the will of God. Thus, this would mean that one's aim should not only be to satisfy his worldly desires. In fact, take whatever is best from it. And if you remain within moderation, and if you keep attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty in view, and then derive benefit from these worldly things, then this would be Zuhud. If you come here, and as a result of the freedom in these Western countries, the satisfaction of all the worldly desires is attracting you, then your coming to the Jalsa is useless. And also coming into the Bayt, the initiation or pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, would also be useless. Thus, the promised Messiah states, cultivate Zuhud within. If you cultivate this, you would be able to recognize the true spirit of Taqwa. What is Taqwa? Taqwa alone is to always have the fear in your heart that I should not commit any such act through which Allah the Almighty could become angry with me. The fear of the anger of Allah the Almighty should not be as a result of a fear of being punished. Rather, it should be fear in a manner that one would fear causing anger to someone who is very close to him or a close relative. This can only occur when love for Allah the Almighty encompasses and becomes dominant over all other loves. Such a condition for love can be attained when one has a personal connection with God and has understanding and knowledge of it. When the focal and pivotal point is the being of Allah the Almighty. So thus, this is that standard and level which every single one of us should strive to achieve. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in order to establish this standard of taqwa, has numerous times, in various ways, advised us. In one of his addresses, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "For the well-being and benefit of our community, what is deemed most important is that the topic of taqwa should be advised upon. For according to intelligent people, it is evident that except for taqwa, there is nothing else from which Allah the Almighty is pleased." Allah the Almighty states, "Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina ittaqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun." Verily, Allah is with those who are righteous and who do good. Thus, when the members of the Jamaat are advised on this matter repeatedly, this is for the purpose that after coming into the Bayt, the initiation of the Imam of this time, when we claim and when we profess that we are the people who, as a result of coming into this Bayt, coming into this initiation, Allah the Almighty has become pleased by us. Or that we have taken this bet, this initiation, to please God, and we are going to do our best to act upon the commands of Allah. So then, if we do not act upon this, then this claim would be merely a claim. If our steps are not moving towards righteousness, then this would be a claim and nothing more. This verse that has been mentioned by the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, is actually explaining the quality of taqwa. That taqwa belongs to those people who are amongst the muhsinin. The meaning of muhsin is those who treat others in a kind and good manner. Those who take care of the feelings and sentiments of others. Those who possess knowledge. This knowledge then helps them to walk upon the path of righteousness. So therefore, look at how beautiful are the words of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. First, he drew attention towards zuhud, that you must make your desires subservient to the will of Allah. Then the Promised Messiah inculcated to adopt righteousness. He presents that example from the Word of God, which includes the inculcation that you should sacrifice your passions for the sentiments and emotions of others, and you should thus benefit them, and thus become a righteous person, which will enable you to become one who acquires the pleasure of Allah. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "For our Jamaat, the quality of taqwa is particularly needed. This is especially in this consideration, that they attach themselves to such a person, and they are in the Bayt, the initiation of such a person who has claimed to be the appointed one. So those who are embroiled in any type of rancor, enmity or shirk, that they attain salvation from all calamities and misfortunes." So therefore, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated that the proclamation of Bayt is no ordinary proclamation. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "When you make the announcement of Bayt, it is no ordinary matter." For he states that my claim is of one who is appointed, of one who has been sent for this mission by Allah the Almighty, that through me the world will be reformed. That through me, now, man will come to recognize God and will establish a relationship and connection with Allah the Almighty. That through me and through those who follow and believe in me, those high morals will be demonstrated, which Allah the Almighty instructed in the last law-bearing book, which was revealed upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, which he has inculcated in the Holy Quran. So thus, in order to carry out Huquq al-Ibad, fulfilling the rights of mankind, we would have to cleanse ourselves of all form of rancor and enmity of our hearts. We would have to purify our hearts like a mirror. And in order to fulfill the rites of Allah, we would have to cleanse ourselves of all forms of shirk. The fear of the world, or the fear of worldliness, or inclination towards materialism or worldliness, makes man forget Allah the Almighty. Through this, man forgets God. This leads to a decline in his standard of worship. If you save yourselves from all of this, only then will you be called one who truly fulfills the rite of bayt. This is impossible without taqwa. If you want to fulfill the rite of the bayt, the initiation, then you should inculcate the pious reformation within you. And you should reform yourselves. You should cultivate righteous reformation within yourself. What would be the result of this? It would be that you would be delivered from many calamities, misfortunes, and tribulations. In this regard, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has said in very firm words, and he has emphatically admonished. He states, Allah the Almighty is merciful and benevolent. He is similarly severe in his wrath and punishment. He sees a community who makes lofty claims, yet they do not follow that up with practical actions. In such a case, his anger and wrath increases. May Allah the Almighty never let it happen that we observe the wrath and anger of Allah. Rather, may we always keep in view righteousness, and in accordance with our capacities, be those who strive to make efforts, and that we are always those who beseech Allah the Almighty for His mercy and grace, and that we obtain His mercy. In order to acquire this standard, what should be our condition? What efforts would we need to make? In this respect, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, the extent to which man performs virtues consists of two parts. One is obligatory and the other is the optional or voluntary. The obligatory are those things that have been made obligatory upon man, such as repaying loans, or to do good to someone who has done good to you. Now some people do take loans, but delay in paying it back. Whereas the promised Messiah alayhi salam states that this is amongst your obligations to repay back loans, or to do good to someone who has done good to you. Apart from obligations, with every virtue, there is the optional or voluntary. He says that apart from these obligations, there are voluntary and optional. That is, such virtues which are beyond what is obligatory. For example, that to do even more of a favor to a favor. These are optional or voluntary. For example, in addition to zakat, it is to give more sadaqat. Allah the Almighty becomes a friend of such people. Allah the Almighty states, His friendship goes to the extent that He becomes the hand, the feet, so much so that He becomes a tongue from which He speaks. So thus this is our God, who not only rewards every act, in fact He becomes the friend of such a person. That is to say, such doors of Allah the Almighty's friendship and protection open up for such a person, which are beyond the envisagement of man. However, when is this status obtained? The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, it is obtained in such a condition when you do a favor in reply to a favor. When someone does something good to you, you should be always in search that how can I repay this act of goodness with goodness. In fact, not only this. In fact, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, to give back equally good is just giving back. It behoves a believer that he should give a favor and be kind beyond how much someone is kind or favorable to him. Now, if this status develops within society, that every person does good to the other, even more so than the extent that was done good to him, and that every single person gives attention towards this matter, and that every single person is acting in this way, that when someone does something good to him, in response, the first person is always worried how he can be even more kind or favorable to him. So such a society can never be a selfish society. Rather, it will be a society of love, peace and affection. When all of this would be carried out for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then Allah the Almighty, who knows full well what is deep in the hearts, and who most of all returns with reward and blessings, His rewards and blessings are beyond measure and are immeasurable and countless. So thus Allah the Almighty blesses one then in a manner which he cannot even imagine. So this is that spirit which we must develop within ourselves, that we must act virtuously and piously, but do so in a selfless manner. We must do so to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty alone. In our worship also, alongside the obligatory worship, should also be the nawafil, the voluntary worship. And this should be so that we can become those who acquire the pleasure of Allah. Alongside, our other acts that we perform should be voluntary or extra acts, which should not be for any worldly purpose. To return a favor for a favor done should not be to derive any personal gain from anyone. Rather, it should only be to acquire the pleasure of Allah. This, then, is true taqwa and the true essence which Allah the Almighty values and regards. That is to say, Allah the Almighty states, I have no concern for your apparent worships and fast. If we are offering our prayer, which Allah the Almighty has commanded us to offer, which in fact have been included amongst the obligations, and the pinnacle of worship is actually prayer, then Allah the Almighty has also stated, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the men and the jinn, but that they worship me. And then to observe prayer for men, it is to do it in congregation, it is to do it on time and regularly. In the Holy Quran, this has been mentioned in numerous places. However, it is these same prayers which for some people, Allah the Almighty states, become a means of their destruction. So thus, most certainly, this is a matter of deep reflection upon us, that how does one act of virtue also become a means of our ruin and destruction? The simple answer to this is that Allah the Almighty has commanded every act of virtue to be performed based on taqwa, that is righteousness. That is, Allah the Almighty desires for that essence which is inside the shell rather than the outward form or shell. If through our prayers within us does not develop sentiments of compassion for others, then we should consider that we have carried out an apparent act with its outward form. However, that spirit which should be found in the prayer would be missing. Sometimes we observe in those fruits which have a cover that they look very beautiful from the outside. However, when you open them, then its kernel inside is either not fully formed or it has been eaten by worms. Or, for example, there are certain kinds of almonds which a person opens up very enthusiastically, but they are bitter within. So thus, through our practical actions, we must follow upon the commands of Allah the Almighty. And we must protect and save this essence of what is inside, and which would be accepted by Allah the Almighty. This can only occur when our prayers and when our worship within us, in addition to forming a connection and relationship with Allah the Almighty, also cultivates compassion and love for humanity. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jamaat Germany every year is building 4 or 5 mosques. I also get the opportunity to inaugurate these mosques. Almost everywhere where these mosques are inaugurated, I say that after the construction of these mosques, the responsibilities of the Ahmadis in the local area increases. To just build a mosque and come there to offer their prayers is not good enough, even if they are coming 5 times a day to the mosque to offer their prayers. The essence is that from this mosque, mutual relationships should strengthen, and the people of the local area should come to know the true and beautiful teachings of Islam through every Ahmadi's acts upon our own people, upon others. That spirit should impact them, which those who worship Allah the Almighty produce in their environment. Every Ahmadi should demonstrate this desire and teaching of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, where the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that kindness, meekness, mutual love and brotherhood in these things become examples for others. So thus this love, this affection and this example of brotherhood is for each other and it is also for others. Where examples for one another attracts the love of Allah the Almighty and will elevate the standard of righteousness, there also it will attract others to the beautiful teachings of Islam. In this way, new avenues of preaching will open up. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in one prayer for his Jamaat states, "May Allah the Almighty purify the hearts of this Jamaat. May he extend the hand of his mercy and turn their hearts towards him. May he eliminate all forms of mischief and all rancor from their hearts. And may he grant them true mutual affection and love. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to become the recipients of this prayer." Then, in that literature which I mentioned at the outset, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has drawn special attention towards humbleness and modesty. This is such a virtue which increases mutual love, which draws attention towards fulfilling mutual rights. It also attracts the attention of others. Allah the Almighty has also mentioned this as a sign of his servants. Yamshuna alal arde huna, that they walk on the earth in a dignified manner, with humbleness and humility. Thus this humility and meekness develops that spirit in man that draws him near to Allah the Almighty, and it also enhances the beauty of the society. It also enhances the beauty of mutual relations and eliminates mutual enmities and grudges and increases love. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has drawn special attention towards truthfulness and uprightness. Although one who treads on the path of taqwa performs all virtues, for this is the definition of taqwa, and one who understands the true purport of taqwa, it is as if he has attained everything. However, there are some details which are necessary to emphasize and stress, and there are some acts which enhance the standard of taqwa. It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty has laid special emphasis and stress upon truthfulness, uprightness and honesty. Allah the Almighty states, "Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida," that, "O ye who believe, fear Allah and say the right word." I provided a commentary of this verse and explained it 2 or 3 weeks ago in my Friday sermon. Nonetheless, here, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has especially, with relation to this matter, mentioned this for those people who come to the Jalsa to acquire spiritual progression, that elevate the standard of your righteousness, reform yourselves. And if this occurs, it is then that you will be one who fulfills the right of the Jalsa. For this, uprightness, straightforwardness, and honesty and truthfulness. Other qualities that you must adopt. This is extremely essential. This is a basic point. Thus, elevate the standard of your honesty and truthfulness, so you can achieve that purpose for which you have gathered together. When the standard of every Ahmadi's honesty and uprightness will be of the loftiest standards, it is then that your words will also have an impact, an impression. When your words will leave an impression, it is then that we can become of those who further the mission and objective of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. And the mission that the promised Messiah alayhi salam brought includes two important objectives. One is to make man recognize Allah the Almighty and to enable him to establish a connection with God. Secondly, it is to make people fulfill the rights of humanity. Both these tasks are such which demand of us taqwa and also sacrifice. They demand in our practical condition pious reformation to be cultivated. We cannot make mankind connect with Allah the Almighty until our own connection with Allah the Almighty is strong. In terms of fulfilling the rights of mankind, we cannot carry this out until we cultivate sentiments of humility, humbleness, meekness, love, brotherhood, and sacrifice within ourselves. So thus, in these 3 days, we must analyze this connection and this passion and sentiment, and we must enhance and increase it, inshallah. This is so that we can become those who achieve the purpose of the Jalsa, and also so that we can fulfill that desire of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. So thus, in these 3 days, to elevate the standard of your righteousness and to rectify your condition should be the effort that every Ahmadi, every participant makes. Also pray that Allah the Almighty enables us to do this. May Allah the Almighty enable us to truly fulfill the objective of this Jalsa.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده رسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر